This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
He brought back!
You 道取武当军师，十年练剑，只练得一身走火入魔的邪招。 今天教你命数武当宗门剑法之下，也不冤枉。快找嘛！在下吕慕白，姓名剑是我的剑。
Hello everyone and welcome to Popcorn Culture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. I'm joined by Sharmila Ganesan here in the studio. And then from home, we have Arvind Yuvaraj. And today is Tuesday, which means that it is our throwback episode. And we're going to be reviewing Mulan, the 2020 version, tomorrow. So we thought that today we would go to another Wuxia classic that also made it big internationally. And that is, of course, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon was huge when it came out, wasn't it? I still remember that it was the film that kind of crossed all those boundaries. It was nominated for 10 Academy Awards, I believe.
Just 10.
Yeah, just 10. It won 4, but it also kind of set Ang Lee up as the director that he's now come to be. He's always made great films, but they were always indie films. Mm. And then came Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
So Ang Lee has a very interesting conversation because of this movie, because he hasn't made a movie like this since. And I think that's important to say. This made him so famous that he got a lot of projects, he got a lot of stuff that fell in his lap, but I don't think he's made something as raw and as pure and as sort of imaginative and creative as Crouching Tiger, which is interesting that we're talking about it today, because it also has a lot of similarities with Mulan. But I guess we'll get to that in a bit. The stuff that Crouching Tiger does right and Mulan doesn't, in a way.
Early spoiler alert for tomorrow's review.
But actually, given that he's so well known for Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, even today, it's also notable that that's not his style. It's not like he made those films before. It really is an anomaly as far as his filmography goes.
It is and it isn't, right? Because I think in terms of what you think about with Ang Lee, for example, beautiful vistas, sweeping shots, movies that aren't necessarily super subtle on the emotion front. I mean, they seem subtle and then suddenly you have people going, I will love you until the mists dissipate. No, nobody says that. I'm sorry.
Stellar writing.
Yeah. I apologize. I write subtitles on the side. No, but I think that if you think about those kinds of hallmarks of Ang Lee's work, then you can see the through line in something like Crouching Tiger, aside from the fact that it's a straight kung fu movie. So it tells the story of a sword, the Green Destiny, which changes hands quite a lot throughout the film. But it belongs to this legendary swordsman, Lee Mubai, who is played by Chow Yun-fat. And who is also in something of a very repressed love story with Michelle Yeoh, Michelle Yeoh's character, rather. And then through it all, you have Zhang Ziyi, who is a rich girl who is not what she seems.
Mm. I think repressed is actually a great word for almost every character in this film. Everybody is struggling against norms and structure and the thing you're supposed to do versus the thing you really want to be and freedom. And some of it is societal, like in Zhang Ziyi's case, but some of it is actually self-imposed, because Michelle Yeoh's character or Xu Lian or Li Mubai, it's more of their own sense of ideals and what they think is the right thing to do. So that's really interesting, because that contrast between what you said exactly, the mists dissipating, the control that exists for so much of the movie versus the super extra emotional outbursts that happen when they happen, actually makes for some excellent viewing.
I mean, the sword at this point is just a plot device, right? Like, yeah. They never explain what the sword does or why it's so special. It's just a sword. And it sort of opens up a lot of other themes, like, you know, worthiness. Are people worthy of certain kinds of training? Like, where they are in society? Like, gender roles. It plays a lot with gender roles as well. Like, who deserves to be on certain kinds of pedestals? Who deserves to be thought certain things that are normally not thought to people like them? And it's very clever because they keep using the sword and telling you that it's important. So you follow it around thinking that it's this special thing, but then it sort of unravels these sort of different themes. And you learn about other people's stories, new characters pop up in flashbacks, in all of a sudden, like midway through the movie, new plots suddenly pop up that you were not thinking about. Very clever sort of writing for a movie disguised as a martial arts movie, but it's about so much more.
So that's the cool thing about Crouching Tiger, right? It is a very much a martial arts wuxia film. People are, I don't even understand fully the laws of physics as applied. Yes. When you're on the roofs, you don't need to touch the roofs. You guys are clearly just straight flying.
Because then you can walk on water. So really, you have no weight sometimes.
So yeah, so it's a straight kung fu movie in the sense that you do have those kinds of scenes, but you also have these really glorious like sword play, hand-to-hand combat, and the actors did pretty much all their own stunts or most of their own stunts, which I think is incredible. So you have on that one level a kung fu movie, and then it's also kind of a western with, you know, good guys, bad guys, no white hats and black hats, but you still understand who everybody is. Outlaws, cowboys, you have all that. You have these love stories percolating underneath, and I think that it's a movie that is pretty much a platonic ideal for a throwback for those reasons, because it's so layered.
Absolutely. And it makes me miss a lot of those tropes. I don't know enough about contemporary Chinese Hong Kong cinema. I'm slightly out of touch. I really only watch what comes here. I don't think wuxia is a huge presence anymore. Certainly not as much as it was in the 90s and the early 2000s. But I miss that grandness, even like a hero, you know, where the martial arts, this kind of the waifu concept was central to making these kinds of films. And they're told so beautifully. They're not told cheesily. It's actually really fun to watch. I really miss it.
I mean, even the cheese is fun to watch.
Yes.
There are a couple of like cheesy scenes, like really heavy emotional scenes with the high performance. It's almost like theater where they have to emote a lot to get the message across. But it's funny that you said Western, because I thought this movie looks like something that would have been filmed in the late 50s or the early 60s, but it was actually shot in 2000. In the sense that everything has a sort of lived-in feel to it. Everything has a grimy, rusty, very tactile look. Like it wasn't done up in some studio or some workshop somewhere to make it look like it's been used by a bunch of people. But in the same way that it looks very big budget, like they're like sweeping landscapes and lots of good cinematography. So, you know, the films that came out in like the late 50s, early 60s, they had all the money to do that and they would go outdoors to shoot these things. So nothing looks like it's done indoors in like a studio. The lighting is like so good. Everything has that perfect sunlight, that sun-touched feel. I really liked it. I liked how raw it looks and how sort of unfiltered the whole film looks, completely unfiltered.
And yet it's also super polished, right? Because I think you know, when you look at the battle scenes, battle's a strong word, when you look at the fight scenes between usually involving no more than five characters, except for one major scene that takes place in a tea house in which someone recites poetry about herself while defeating like 20 people. But outside of that scene, the battle scenes are really, really highly choreographed, perfect, polished, and then they're accompanied by, for instance, the famous bamboo shot, which is, I think, one of the scenes that really helped make the movie its name, when you have Xiao Long, I think.
I know, but the English subtitles say Jen.
Jen, yeah, I know. So anyway, you have Zhang Ziyi's character, whose name is definitely, I think, Xiao Long, because one character has the word dragon in it and the other one has the word tiger. Her lover, the bandit, is the tiger.
Okay.
So her character and Chow Yun-fat and that, you know, kind of balancing on the bamboo, the sweeping shots, it's just beautiful to look at.
I love that scene. So I watched Crouching Tiger in 2000 when it came out, and I haven't seen it since. But what I remember in my head, as if I'm looking at a picture, was the bamboo, the scenes where they're sort of doing these this elaborate
seesaw.
It's not a fight. It's sort of a semi-dance, competitive dance against each other. It's beautiful. Like I could remember it to this day. And when it happened on screen, I teared up a little bit.
You know what is so cool about that scene is that throughout the movie, you're not sure how gravity works. Like you mentioned, like they step on water and then they can just bounce. They step on the roof, they can just bounce. So it does look like wire work. But at the same time, gravity has its own logic in the mm-hmm. film.
Yeah.
So the way they balance on the bamboo is perfectly in sync with the rest of the film. The sort of lightness they have when they're in air. So you might think it just looks like wire work, but even that wire work has physics to it that's consistent throughout the film and sort of never lets up. And it's shown perfectly or displayed perfectly during that bamboo scene.
So we're talking today about Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, directed by Ang Lee, winner of 4 Academy Awards, 20 years old now. It came out in 2000. If you would like to share your thoughts on Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, or movies like it, let us know. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
你是哪儿的？在下凤阳山魁星吴首。鲁军雄。军雄？好个鲁军雄。听到这名字就想吐。你活该倒霉姓鲁。要比划，就先拿你开刀。
Hello, you are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin, and together we are throwing it back to Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. And we've spoken quite a bit about the cinematography, about the action in the film, but I wanted to address the cast because this is along with the fact that it's a very big budget looking movie, it also has an incredible cast of like international Chinese actors.
Mm. So there's, of course, there's Chow Yun-fat, who's playing Li Mubai, Michelle Yeoh, our very own Michelle Yeoh,
yes,
who's playing Xu Lian. And then there's Zhang Ziyi. And I think just this trio and how well they all play against each other. And I think Ang Lee is very clever. He gives each of them scenes. And one of the things I realized, we talk so much about things like the Bechdel test, right? Where do women speak to each other about important things that are not men? This film is such a great example, and it's 20 years old. You get a legitimate sense of each character's relationship with each other. And I really, really, I think this time around I noticed how well that's handled.
I mean, there's chemistry there, even though they never show you where that chemistry came from.
Mm.
So a lot of the characters have history with each other. And a lot of the times they're just like sort of touched on in dialogue, or someone will say something like, oh, you know, they're in love, but they never mentioned it and stuff. But you get that through the performance and the way they sort of look at each other, the way they speak to each other. You honestly believe that they've known each other for like a long, long, long time. Even though there is no prequel, and they made no prequel, and they didn't even show you through flashbacks what all that chemistry is about, it's really nice how they sort of got that without having to explicitly show you why.
I think in some ways the characters are perfectly suited for these actors. I mean, this was Zhang Ziyi's big break internationally, and so I think because of that, she perhaps people thought that she was always going to do this sort of ingenue character. But her character is not simple at all. She is petulant. She is angry. She's skilled, you know, she's got all this going on. And I think Zhang Ziyi's face and body, her ability to be both incredibly delicate and also really tough. Her performance is very, very muscular in some ways. And Chow Yun-fat has always been one of the coolest guys. I mean, he's always done cool incredibly well. Mm. So to play this legendary swordsman is great. And in terms of restraint, all of Michelle Yeoh's best performances are when she's playing a restrained character.
Yeah, Michelle Yeoh is, you know, I don't remember this from the first time around, but in the second viewing, she's hands down my favorite actor in this film. She's so elegant and composed, but with every shot she gives, even when she's having that grand fight with Zhang Ziyi, where it's just her
so
with
good.
Multiple weapons, and it's amazing. She acts and she's also fighting, and you know she's doing her own stunts. To me, this was a career-defining performance, even now.
I mean, that scene is like, you wait for that scene throughout the film because you know it's coming and you know it's there, even though you've never seen it or they don't show it in most of the trailers or most of the promotional stuff. It's like a surprise. And she plays suppressed like so well. And then when she finally does fight, she plays that so well. Michelle Yeoh is just like a treasure, like all around.
No, I completely understand. So again, I think the first time round back in 2000 when I watched it, I think I was so blown away by the film as a whole because there's so much going on. You know, we've been talking about how much there is going on that you maybe overlook one of the quietest characters. And in fact, the two main characters, you know, both Xu Lian as well as Mu Bai, are both incredibly quiet folks. I mean, even their love conversations are fundamentally, I feel good about this. Me too. You know, and you're like,
oh. It must be an age thing because now I look at that and I'm like, I get it.
Yeah,
that's what a relationship is.
Oh no, we're bringing it to this level again. But I do, I really, you're right. I really appreciated Michelle Yeoh's performance because she managed to convey so many different things. She's, you know, she's deadly. But she doesn't necessarily have to showcase that. You know, she has hopes and wishes, but she never actually expresses them beyond one moment where she says, you robbed me of them. But before that, she never actually said it. But you know everything.
Mm. A friend of mine, when I was talking to him about the fact that I was rewatching this film, said that when he had watched it, and obviously he would have also been a child, he said he was disappointed that they built Li Mu Bai up to be this warrior and then you never get to really watch him fight. But rewatching it now, I realize that's because the story is never actually about him. The story is about the women. And I think that's a pretty cool realization to have.
I mean, he's the guy who has sort of quote-unquote passed his prime, right? He's supposed to teach these things to like a new generation or someone that he picks. Another thing that helps them a lot is the music. Which is a very interesting choice that Ang Lee did because the music never really picks up past a certain point. There is no big like epic theme. There's no big orchestra. It all plays like, again, it goes back to like theater. There's like a constant sort of mellow theme in the background that's very beautiful, but it's also as cool as Chow Yun-fat that it never peaks past a certain kind of emotion. So it doesn't have, they don't depend on the soundtrack to tell you what to feel. Like, you know, now's the time for action. Or now's the time for danger. What it's always consistent, but it also serves the movie really, really well, especially the way the story is told.
Yeah, and that was by Tan Dun, that is the composer for the film, and the film actually won Best Original Score at the Oscars as well. So there you go. I did want to pick up on something you said, Arvin, which is the teaching, because I think that that's a huge element of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Is this apprenticeship, this idea of being a teacher, being a worthy teacher, being a worthy student, and having that questioned and having, you know, maybe even a new generation trying to break free from that. I really enjoyed watching that play out because, again, that is a classic trope of kung fu movies, of wuxia movies, this idea of my master, my student. And I loved how this film played with that, subverted it, experimented with it.
So speaking of what the film does and doesn't do, what I really like about it is how, I mean, this is Ang Lee sort of taking on a genre and making it his own, right? So he has all of the wuxia elements in it, all of the cool stuff, but he kind of plays with it. So you have these long gaps where there's actually no real action. It's meditative. It's people riding through a desert sometimes, or speaking, you know, under trees. And I think that there's a certain beauty to taking a genre that is so known for action and speed and physicality and slowing it all down, because it does exactly what we were talking about earlier with Michelle Yeoh's character, which is to then emphasize that when there is an uptick in action, you get really invested in it. You remember it and you're so swept away by it.
All the peaks and valleys, right?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And also you don't actually support or encourage the student that he wants to teach. You know, like you said, she's a bit of a brat. You know, she has like issues with temper and emotions and stuff, which is, you kind of have to trust why he wants to train her. And she doesn't make it easy for you to support her training because you're like, why? You know, she's so petulant. Why would you pick her? But that's the point of the movie, I guess.
That, and I think also, if we think about any sort of great master-apprentice relationship. By and large, this idea of the apprentice being full of raw talent and also anger. We've seen this play out in things like Star Wars. And so I like the idea of it, again, being remolded into this film. So, generally speaking then, quick temperature check. We would all encourage people to rewatch this?
Definitely. Such a great throwback.
Yeah, 100%. I made not the mistake, but I chose to watch the dubbed version second time.
I saw that.
I saw this back in like 2001 or 2002. And then this time around, I watched the dubbed version. It honestly sounds like a bunch of Muppets voicing them over. I'm not even kidding. It's really funny. But it's still, it doesn't work. But if you want to give yourself like a different experience, go watch the dubbed version. Why not?
So we've been talking today about Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, a movie that's 20 years old now, directed by Ang Lee, of course. If you would like to share your thoughts on Crouching Tiger, or for that matter, on movies like it, if you want to make some recommendations, you can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can write to us at movies@bfm.my. And of course, you can follow us on both Twitter and Instagram. We are BFM Popcorn. You're listening to Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.